This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. You missed Ross Tucker, Odyssey Sports NFL Insider, with us an hour ago. You can hit the rewind button in the Odyssey app. You can also check it out on the Hoffman Show podcast. Just search the Hoffman Show wherever you get your podcasts, and then that's the Hoffman Show. You know how podcasts work. Cool. You also, at this point, probably know how this works. Biggest Commanders storylines of the day at 6 o'clock. Let's get to it.
The six biggest Commanders storylines.
It is caught!
Delivered at 6 o'clock sharp. It's the Pick 6 at 6.
We set out to find a leader, someone who could take this franchise to the next level, and build an elite team that consistently competes for championships.
All right, we got injury news. We got captains. We got a Brian Robinson update. We got so many things. Injury news is where we'll start in multiple parts with...
Number one.
Because that's what comes first when they taught us how to count in school. All right, who's out?
That will be Belor. Linebacker Nick Belor, cornerback Marshawn Lattimore, and kicker Austin Seibert. All the rest of the guys practiced, and we'll huddle up tonight and see how they do. But those are the three that that won't play, ruling them out today.
All right. So no Nick Belor hurts the special teams, though they have guys that can come in and play. Like, you probably activate Derek Forrest, even though obviously that leaves you a little thin at linebacker. All your linebackers are active anyway, so you just put Derek Forrest in there instead of having him inactive. You put him in Belor's spot, and your special teams operates relatively unchanged, although Belor's the better player. Defoe's a good special teams player. He's fast, he's physical, all that kind of stuff. But Nick Belor's like a pretty special teams player, and you're going to be down one of those guys. So that's what you do there. Zane Gonzalez will kick. And then, obviously, Marshawn Lattimore affects you in a much, much more significant way. If Marshawn Lattimore was playing, I think that you can play some man coverage on the back end. And you can try to up your pressure packages. With where they're at corner, and with the extraordinary talent on the Philadelphia Eagles roster, I am playing a ton of soft coverage structures. I'm, if you want to do some bump and run type of stuff and cover two, fine. Like, to mix it up in terms of not just totally soft, but like structure wise, a lot of cover two, a lot of quarters, a lot of cover six, where you're two on one side, four on the other. I want multiple players deep. I never want my corners in man-to-man situations with no safety help. I'm not playing cover one where I have a deep safety playing center field that really can't get to either sideline unless it's a bad ball. I'm not playing cover zero where it's straight man-to-man across the board and we're blitzing everybody else. Like, I am playing, we're not playing cover three where, oh, he's responsible for a deep third. It's basically the way they're going to run some of the route concepts and run their route combinations that turns into a man-to-man situation real quick. Not doing that with any regularity. I'm certainly not doing it in big spots. I know they want to blitz. I know they want to pressure. But please, for the love of winning football, do not leave these corners, any of them, not just Juice, Sainer Still, Igbinoghene, one-on-one with Devontae Smith or A.J. Brown. Because if it becomes isolation basketball, then the Eagles win. If it becomes a team game, now Jalen Hurts is much, much less effective. Those receivers, while still good, are less effective, less dangerous, less likely. It's really less likely to pop the big one, even if they're still good. You're going to give up yards. It's going to be painful. You're going to bend. Just don't break. And don't break easy. And if Marshawn Lattimore was there, that'd be a potentially different story. But he's not. It's why they traded for him. We're going to have some patience on that front, and we'll see if he's ready to go for Dallas 11 days from now, 10 days from tomorrow.
Number two.
So that's the bad news. The good news is Brian Robinson is back. How's he look this week, Dan Quinn?
Yeah, today was the day to get speed, and so that was a good sign to see him and the rest of his teammates really get running. It was a kind of a ramp up, John, as you go. Think of a slower on Monday, a little faster yesterday, but today's the day you hit the marks to go up, and so he did a good job with that.
Good to hear, and that's really what you want for a hamstring injury. Sports radio cap off, personal trainer, sports performance coach hat on. It's got to be a ramp because you have to kind of pass each test safely. And if you feel a little twinge, like, whoa, okay, the second you feel anything in that hamstring, stop. Because otherwise, you're going to push it too far, you're going to re-injure it, and we got to start the clock over again. And so the fact that he was able to get up to speed, that's all they've been waiting for. That's why he's playing. He couldn't pass that test leading into Sunday's game. He couldn't even pass it last Friday. But they get it to the point that he's good to go. He said yesterday that he felt really good. And so now I don't know that he'll have a full load because they still need to probably manage exactly how many carries he gets. But depending on how much he gets out in the open field and opens up, like, they'll be, if they're smart, which I'm sure they are, like, and they have access to this stuff during the game, like, you'd be tracking some of his GPS data. How much time does he spend at certain speeds? So hamstrings are very, very finicky. They're very, very particular. And just having Brian Robinson, even for the ability to get 12 carries, is so essential compared to having zero. It affects how the other team plays zone read. It affects how the other team, obviously, is facing yardage down and distance. Because one thing that we didn't really talk about yesterday is, and Monday, is the hidden yardage Brian Robinson gets. Same exact run. 2 yards, Austin Eckler. B-Rob's able to fall forward. Difference between a second and 8 and a second and 7. And it doesn't sound like much, but if you run the ball again, and now it, same thing happens, and it's 2 3-yard games instead of 2 2-yard games, 3rd and 4 is very different than 3rd and 6. And the playbook and what becomes open. And so this hidden yardage of falling forward for an extra 1 2 yards here and there just keeps you out of some of these bad down and distances, and B-Rob back should let the hidden yardage add up.
Number three
on the injury front, and we'll get to the non-injury stuff in just a little bit, but the other injuries to watch, all three of their top tackles, so Andrew Wiley, Cornelius Lucas, and Brandon Coleman, questionable for tomorrow. I would guess all three play, but Wiley and Lucas are the guys that missed last week, and Dan Quinn was asked how they're looking this week.
Yeah, they both had good work yesterday. We did kind of some individual, and then we got really more today at full speed. Not full speed, but enough where we could punch and go and be aggressive. And so Cornelius and Andrew both did a good job today.
So there's Dan Quinn on those guys. I can't stress enough how big it would be to get either one of them back to play right tackle. Wiley is obviously the best guy. And I know he was much maligned last year, and people have kind of come around and be like, oh, maybe the things that, like, Craig and Logan were saying about if you use him in the right ways and don't ask him to one-on-one pass protect all the time, he's a little bit better. And he's had his moments this year, losses, penalties, whatever. But you see it in that Pittsburgh game, the timing, the punch, the power, the pop, the mobility that he has versus Trent Scott. And you say, okay, Wiley is an above average run blocker and a solid enough pass blocker, where Trent Scott is below average at those things. And you see where it shows up in big spots. Watt getting some key pressures and hits late. Some of the run game stuff that just is not crisp and clean. The screen game being a mess, like, that's definitely a part of it. So can they have those guys out there? Biotish is also banged up like crazy. Can't wait for him to get 10 days off. Just get him out of this game healthy. But it affects it because the mobility is not there, and the timing and the partnership with Sam Cosmi is not there. It's just not the same. So can they get Wiley back? If so, the execution should go up. Lucas to potentially spell Coleman, or if Wiley can't go, can he play right tackle? Like, just having that piece. Good players are better. Better to have the better players. As simple as that. O-line, it's definitely true. And I think we saw that play out on Sunday. And hopefully we see an upgrade tomorrow night against Philly. When we get back, we will hear more from Dan Quinn as we wrap up our pick 6-6, including his thoughts on what the Jahan Dotson trade is. They'll see Jahan tomorrow night wearing 83 for Philadelphia, did for their roster and some of the guys who have gotten opportunities. Plus, why is Olamide Zaccheaus still getting a second chance as a punt returner? All of that next in our pick 6 here on the Hoffman Show. But first, a look at the latest in the world of women's sports presented by Wawa. Gotta have a Wawa. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. Our pal Dave Johnson joins us coming up at 6:30. And he's in San Antonio, where tonight the Wizards are going to take on the Spurs. Right now, though, we continue on with our pick six at six. Six biggest Commander storylines of the day. And let's start off, actually, with a trade that was made between these two teams.
Number four.
The Jahan Dotson trade. Anthony, should we play the Shane from Oxon Hill call again? No, we don't need to do that right now. Maybe if we have a little bit of extra time, but I want to try to stay on the clock and try to make sure that we have our full segment with Dave. The Jahan Dotson trade was a really critical juncture in the Commander season. They kind of set the tone of like, hey, you either get on board with the program or you get out. And it's not about how you're playing in terms of the quality. It's about how you're going about your business. And it was pretty clear Jahan Dotson was not going about the business of being a Washington Commander in the way that the people in charge of the Washington Commanders wanted anymore. And so they said, hey, who wants Jahan Dotson? And Howie Roseman was like, we would like Jahan Dotson. And they gave him a third-round pick. That third-round pick kind of unlocks the extra draft capital that Adam Peters needs to go make the Marshawn Lattimore trade, and we'll see how that ultimately plays out in the long term. Meanwhile, Dotson hasn't really done a whole lot for Philly, and the pick that was exchanged for him is that of the Miami Dolphins, who were not very good thanks to the Tua injury, and all of a sudden that pick looks like it's going to be a pretty good one in the third round, barring a second-half turnaround. That is possible from Miami. They got a pretty weak schedule, but we'll see. Certainly, it seems like it's going to be no worse than the middle of the third round. So how did that trade for Dotson shape what Dan Quinn and company are trying to build here in D.C.?
I thought, number one, with Adam, we always said this best decisions, for the team at that time, Ben. And so whether that's, a trade or whatever that looks like, that's going to be kind of the driving force behind it. As you guys know, we didn't really talk about who's the two in that. We had a big, deep crew at receiver now that you've seen, kind of how the guys are used and where we're at. But that was the best op for the team. And John did a great job. He was here with us and look forward to seeing him.
Classy as always by Dan Quinn, but there was a reason why Jahan Dotson wasn't like, hey, Dan, who's your number one? It's Terry. Okay, who's your number two? Well, we move guys around. If you had a guy who was number two, then he'd be the number two. And alas, he is not. They have gone by this rotation thing. Noah Brown obviously comes in. So there was a plan. They found ways to continue to supplement. They continue to compete, to kind of use their terminology. But it certainly, I think, sent a message of, it's our way or the highway. And most people got on board pretty quick. The couple stragglers, not so much. And I don't know, Emmanuel Forbes is still here, but deal with that a different day.
Number five.
One of the guys who's gotten more opportunities without Jahan in the picture is Olamide Zaccheaus. And his emergence in the preseason, I think, probably gave them even more confidence to allow the Dotson trade to happen. They knew they had Zaccheaus. Luke was coming on pretty well. Some of the other guys that were playing good ball, Jameson Crowder, he wound up getting hurt, but like he was a factor. And obviously what he brings as a punt returner was something they were hoping to have and, still could if he can get back off of IR. But last couple weeks, Zaccheaus had some muffed punts. He had one against Chicago. He had two last week. Obviously lost the one that cost them a touchdown. And that, as much as any other of 10 plays you want to pick, cost them the game. So why is Dan Quinn sticking with Olamide Zaccheaus as his punt returner? Why that second chance?
Well, I think you have to look at the whole body of work in terms of the work ethic, what you've seen before. And so, when you're going through it, you want to make sure there's not a pattern that comes up. And if that's the case, then it's somebody else's role to do that in punt return. But there's also a lot of work and trust that's been put into that. And so that's really where I look at it. And I'm at the top of everything, like protecting the team. And so that's where
that's where he sits. I think it's interesting for a guy that's muffed a couple punts to say, I'm protecting the team. But it also might mean that the other guys that when they said, hey, we're going to do punt catching today, does Sandra still drop him? Does Luke drop him? Like, I don't know what the other options are, and he might ultimately be the best one. And, that's something that we've talked about with St. Juice at corner. We've talked about with some of these receivers, with, certain offensive linemen at times. There just are only so many good NFL players, and acquiring them is really hard. And so for a guy who is not the best at his position, it's saying that, hey, we don't have anything better is not an endorsement of that player as the greatest of all time. I don't think they have any confusion that Alamide Zaccheaus is a punt returner who hasn't really done a ton as a punt returner this year, but he's been reliable outside the last couple weeks. But they don't think he's Dante Hall back there. Anthony, do you remember Dante Hall?
Number 82 for the Chiefs, one of the greatest and shiftiest punt returners to pick up a football. Oh.
You remember what it... Whoa. You almost fell there. Your seat just gave out on you. Glad that was captured on camera for posterity.
Yeah.
You remember what his nickname was?
Nickname? Ah, I don't remember the nickname.
The Human Joystick.
That does sound familiar.
Pretty good. Pretty good nickname. They don't think he's Dante Hall back there. They don't think he's Devin Hester, but he's the best they got for right now. And if that changes with some more data, aka more fumbles or, you know, too many balls caught inside the five, then we'll cross that bridge when it comes.
Number six.
Last but not least, a good question. Ask a head coach a day before the game. Hey, Dan, what have you seen on film from the Eagles that they do well?
I'll start for their defense. I thought their five down fronts, the four down fronts, I thought safeties down when they're back, the disguise. I thought Coach Fangio does a very good job and has for a long time, Kendi, into that space. I love the aggressiveness of their corners, playing tight coverage onto people. So there'll be a lot of contested throws and contested throws and catches. The interior part of their guys, big guys with size and guys that can rip off the edge. So a good challenge that way. Offensively, I felt run game-wise was similar to what we have seen. Their line coach and staff there has done a fantastic job through the years in the run game, and they've added an explosive player to the mix in Saquon. Kellen, I thought, added probably different, you know, his flavor and elements to the drop-back game to go. But the addition of Barkley has really been, as it's been proven, you know, a big addition for them this year. Special teams-wise, big place kicker, you know, that can hit it from deep. So the field position for us is going to be a big deal in this game. That's where I think of them all at the top, and known quantity, tough group. And so for us, you know, heading up there, division game, like, it's really cool. We're pumped.
Should be a fun one tomorrow night. Yeah, there's a lot of talent on that roster, and Kellen Moore's found some ways to get it going here, but it really is an offense that does rely on Saquon Barkley getting them going with some big plays in the run game, and he has been able to do that pretty consistently. If Washington can shut that down, it certainly feels like they've got a great shot to pull the upset tomorrow night. But again, roster-wise, no doubt, Eagles have the better players up and down. But Washington has done better at using their players better to their 7-3 record. Philly 7-2 on a 5-game winning streak. We'll be talking about it not only for the rest of the show today, outside of next with Dave Johnson. We're talking about the Wizards and Spurs tonight here on your home for the Wizards, the Team 980. But all day tomorrow, starting at 4 o'clock. That is our pick six at 6. Biggest storylines of the day. Tomorrow we'll pick the six players that we think will be most impactful in the game at 6 o'clock. So stay tuned, or be tuned in for that. But next, on your home for Wizards basketball, the one and only legend, Dave Johnson, joins us. It's the Hoffman Show on the Team 980, your home for Washington Wizards basketball. We're tonight, 8 o'clock. You got Dave, you got Glenn, you got Alex Saar, you got Jordan Poole, you got Wemby, as the Wizards are in San Antonio and on a Wizards game day. It is time, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, to bring on the one and only Dave Johnson.
Right corner, Kispert open for three, it's there!
Time to get the radio party started.
Feeds now, the right block of Al Saar, slam!
It's time for Dave Johnson on a Wizards game day.
Give it a bridge now!
Locked by Colabali. Left wing George. 3 on the clock for three. It's there.
Feel like busting loose. Busting loose.
Crossover step back. Jordan Poole.
You are cool.
I feel like busting loose. Busting loose now.
On the Hoffman Show.
To San Antonio we go. It is where we find Dave. Dave, hello, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well, and, you know, buzz in the building tonight is, you know, Victor Wembanyama, Alex Saar, Bilal Coulibaly. We are in Texas, but definitely a French flavor to this game.
No doubt about it. You might even say. I gotta say, Dave, we have, when we've created the open for you, we have never substituted in and out highlights. We've kind of just set them. We've gotten lucky in some ways that some of the players that we've selected have not been traded during the season with the amount of trades the Wizards have pulled off the last couple of years when we've been doing this. I might have to change scope on that. On the highlights of Wizards plays you have called over the years, how good was the Koulibaly left-handed dunk in Orlando the other day? I know we're rewinding a couple of days, but that is one of the best, most exciting plays the Wizards seemingly have had in years. Just an unbelievable play. How excited were you, and where do you think that one ranks on the highlight reel?
Well, it's up there, certainly. I mean, first of all, it was early in the game. It just came out of nowhere, and it was with his left hand. As we described it, it's the dunk of the week, as you can find it on the Wizards social media channels. I've shared it as it was called on Team 980. So, it also shows how you take a negative and turn it into a positive. You remember he had a cast on his right wrist toward the end of last season. So what did that force him to do? Worked out with his left hand. So it was his first ever left-handed dunk. And, boy, it was a poster. And it was that highlight is a part of, I think you are going to have to change that highlights, because this is a season of discovery. We're going to continue, we're only 8 games in. That's it. Or 9, I forget. But whatever it is, it's not many. And the point is, we're just scratching the surface with the rookies, certainly, and even with Bilal Koulibaly is in his second year.
Yeah, no doubt about it, and there's obviously so much focus on these young players. Last time out, I should say, against Houston, I thought it was an interesting learning experience for Alex Sarr. He goes against Alperen Şengün, who, if you don't know, is one of the best young players in the NBA himself. The Rockets just signed him like a 5-year, $200-whatever million extension. He's fantastic. Sarr learned that the hard way, 27-17, and just a wide array of moves. And Alex is having this historic start through these first 9 games of turning block numbers, and he's doing a lot of really great things. What do you think he took out of that, facing one of the most skilled post players in the NBA the other night, that he can work into his game and his knowledge base moving forward as he continues to build his defensive arsenal?
Well, welcome to the NBA. And Alex Sarr knew this was going to happen. And look, it happened to him basically also Friday when we were in Memphis with Jaren Jackson. There's a reason why you win and go to the playoffs and go to the finals with a cast of rookies, that why it takes, time to develop. I think we talked about, Steph Curry talked about it was his 5th year until he made the playoffs. So, and I'm not saying we're on a 5-year plan. What I'm saying is you have some moments, and we're going to have moments with this team, certainly with individual players like Alex Sarr, and you're thinking, wow, he can do that and he can do this and he's arrived. Well, not yet, because then you have moments like Monday night at Alperen Şengün, who is, what he gets at, how the challenge of defending him is his footwork. There's so much of basketball, you forget that footwork is a big part of it. And, so he's going to have to learn, I can't bite for the fakes. My footwork defensively has to match Alperen Şengün, whoever I'm defending, because that's how they're going to beat me. Because when you think about it, if you're everyone's at that position is basically the same size. So what's going to be the difference? It's going to be the who wins the battle of wits, whether as a defender you make the right decision or whether the offensive attacking player you make the right decision. That's what it comes down to. And, how do you, get better at making instantaneous decisions? Repetition. There's no excuse for that. And real, there's no way to manufacture and practice. And it's why, we keep talking about it, a broken record, but Bilal Koulibaly, every night, basically, no matter what the position is, aside from center, he's guarding the toughest scorer on the other team. That is paying dividends now, but is really going to pay dividends down the road.
Dave Johnson, play-by-play for the Washington Wizards here on the Team 980. I meant that both ways. He's the play-by-play man for the Wizards. The games are here on the Team 980. He's also with us on the Team 980. So, Dave, I thought one of the other interesting things from the other night, Kyle comes back. He leads the team in shots. A lot of the offense in some key moments goes through him. So, and sometimes like he kept them afloat and kept them in the game. So this is not meant to be critical of Kyle in any way, just inquisitive of kind of what the talk is around the team, what Brian Keefe has to say. You have this balance of wanting to make sure that you have enough on the young guys' plates that they're developing. Kyle and Jordan and Corey Kispert are going to take some off of their plates so that they're not overloaded. How does the team and Brian Keefe and the staff feel about how that balance is with Kuz back in the lineup now?
Well, look, the Wizards, of course, have two wins this season. Both are laid up against the Atlanta Hawks. But, you know, the first win was on the road when Kuzma got hurt, and it was his play primarily that really led the charge back, and the Wizards secured that win in Atlanta. He will help in so many ways just being on the court. Yeah, he missed his first six shots last night. He's coming back from, you know, multiple games out, and he had to get in a rhythm. You know, Corey Kispert, if we're going to be successful, is got to find his stroke, and, you know, he's going to take some shots. So it's you look at the game the other night, and in some metrics, the Wizards should have been blown right out of Houston. I mean, they were dominated on the boards. The good news is for the Wizards, they're making other teams miss. The bad news is they're not getting a rebound. Other teams are getting second chances. But the way they contested and competed, Rockets are a low turnover team. They forced the Rockets into a lot of turnovers the other night. It was a 6-point game in the fourth quarter. So then it comes down to this: we can X and O till we're blue in the face. You got to make shots. And the Wizards have not made key shots at critical moments, and the opposition has. I mean, in that case, the Rockets pull away and get the win. And that's been a script or a narrative that pretty much, you know, in every loss, it's you know, Draymond Green and Steph Curry saying, you know, they never gave up. They were right there. We didn't let our starters rest, but they don't have enough to close. And rebounding is closing possessions, and that'll help you close games. And, you know, that's going to be a challenge tonight against a Spurs team that, by the way, is trying to get to 500. And, you know, Victor Wembanyama, now in his second year, is showing that, you know, there is a big difference from the second year to the first year.
No doubt. And I was going to ask you about Wemby to close here. You've now called a couple of his games back last year. You're about to call another one tonight. He is clearly, clearly just a different caliber of special young player. When you first saw him and you first really got to see him on the floor last year calling a game, like what do you remember about that? What will you always remember about young Victor Wembanyama as we continue to watch his career blossom?
Well, my thought, I remember at the time, was he belongs in the NBA. Not only does he belong, he'll be a generational player. And that's like, oh, wow, Dave Johnson just stated the obvious. Well, no, it's not obvious in many ways. He's coming from Europe. The jump from Europe to the NBA is just as big, if not, well, certainly just as big as a jump from college to the NBA. Again, billions of people on the planet, only 500 NBA players. You can do the math. It's off the charts. So just because he had success and he was doing things in the EuroLeague in France, you know, doesn't necessarily automatically mean he's going to be able to translate that to the NBA. But it was clear from the start of last season, you know what, he belongs. And all this talk about him being a generational player is true, because everyone's athletic to some degree in this league. Everyone's got some level of speed, size, whatever metric you want to use. But then it takes the basketball IQ to take you to that next level and become a player that people are going to talk about for decades. And Victor Wembanyama is on his way to doing that.
He's got a great mentor alongside him this year. Chris Paul, if people forgot, is playing for San Antonio. He's playing well, averaging over 8 assists a game. Should be a fun one, a great challenge for Bub Carrington and those guards tonight. Dave will be on the call coming up. 8 o'clock tip time, 8 o'clock pregame. 8 o'clock pregame, 8:15 tip, right?
Right. Well, actually, 7:45 pregame, 8:10 tip to be exact. But, yeah, 7:45 we'll get you going. And we also have a conversation with Jonas Valanciunas.
Nice.
Our veteran who's trying to guide this team. So, look, the Wizards, this is a fun team this year. They're going to fight. They're going to compete. Is this the night they stop the 5-game losing streak? You know, it would be sweet if they did, because it would continue a string of success, oddly enough, in San Antonio after we won a stretch from 1999 to 2022, not winning here. So it'd be nice to stay hot in San Antonio.
Hey, do that. And then, of course, it should be mentioned, everyone's best to Greg Popovich. Now been reported that he has been out a couple weeks here after suffering a mild stroke, but expect to make a full recovery. So, you know, send our best, if anyone will listen down there, to Coach Pop, a true American treasure. And, Dave, enjoy San Antonio, and we'll talk to you later in the week. From where the heck are you guys next? I can't even keep
Atlanta.
Up.
Atlanta. Friday in Atlanta. We finally get to come home after that.
Excellent. Hey, Hawks on the schedule. Let's go. Let's party. Dave.
Right.
Thanks, man. And we'll talk to you on Friday. That's Dave Johnson with us, everybody, here on the Hoffman Show. Again, about an hour from now, pregame gets started here on the Team 980. We got what do we got next? Terps Talk, Coach Locks? Oh, no, that's tomorrow. We got BetMGM tonight in between, tonight. Yeah. Yeah. Anthony just gave me the thumbs up finger point deal. Yep. Hey, you. Yeah. Good job. All right. Anyway, that's that. This is this. And then coming up next, it'll be Real Things, Real People Said in Real Microphones. It's the Hoffman Show on the Team 980. Always live as well on the free, he said, Odyssey app. We're on Instagram, or I'm on Instagram, at Hoffman Sports, where you can vote on our latest poll, Anthony, based off this exchange that we had on Monday's show.
When Warren fumbled on the 1 yard line, prior to that, they had run 14 plays, taken off 7 minutes of clock just because they were running, converting on third down. And that's also another thing. We could not get off the field on third down. 7-for-16, unacceptable. When they had to score, they went to their bread and butter, and we had no answer for
it. See, I don't know that I agree with that. I still agree with me on Monday. I don't know that I agree with that. But I will say, when the content team, which is a very vague term that I'm going to use, we don't have a very giant team. But the content team, whoever it is in mystery land of the internet that cuts my reels and my YouTube shorts, cut it. I think they agree with you. Because that the way that the video that we posted up on Instagram is cut, a lot of your argument, not a lot of mine. So I had to type mine out in the caption when I posted it.
To be honest, I don't think my full point was captioned, just because I feel as though we put so many resources into stopping the run because of how bad we were, that it opens up those outside opportunities for our
Those were outside because they were blitzing on passing downs, not because they were trying to stop the run.
Well, hey, look at that, too. But I do think we have an extra safety in the box. We have 8 people in the box a lot of the time, though, correct?
No, they have 7 in the box, and they play with 3 safeties.
Okay.
It's 2 linebackers, 4 defensive linemen, and 1 safety. That's 7.
Oh, that is 7. Hey, look, sometimes we do have 8, though.
Sometimes. So does every team.
Yeah.
Anyway, the point is, if you want to vote on our little Instagram
poll. Vote for me!
Anthony's currently leading, so if you think that they have bigger, there's only been like 8 votes.
Okay,
relax.
All right.
The results are early. But if you wanna vote in our poll at Hoffman.sports on Instagram, do you think the Commanders have bigger problems, or do you think that this is one of their biggest issues, the run defense? You can hit us up on the socials. Tomorrow on the show, it's Commanders Eagles all day, all show. Getting ready for it. You'll hear from Logan. Who else do we got? Do we have? Whoa, Anthony's very intense right now.
I was excited.
I see that. I just wasn't prepared. I was like looking over here, checking a note. I looked up, and your face is on the screen, in the camera, like, yeah! And I was like, whoa!
It's game day, baby. Primetime television.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Do we have anybody else locked in? I know we're working on a bunch of stuff.
We have Logan Paulson.
We have Logan on the show, for sure.
Russell. Chris.
Russell's going to join us from Philly at 6:30.
Yep.
So talk about a Philly special. Hey. Anybody else that we got locked in? I know we're working on a couple things.
We need to figure out.
Got a couple things in the works. We got to circle back with the, and then we got to check in with.
Yep.
Oh yeah,
Okay,
that's a good idea. No, we gotta definitely circle up on that. So that's tomorrow's show. Friday, we start the show at 4 o'clock with Ian Eagle, who's calling it tomorrow night for Westwood One. Of course, he called the Commanders game on Sunday on CBS. He's got the radio call tomorrow night. As for how we wrap up this show, it's the way we wrap up basically every show.
Real things.
We're not going to be sucked this year.
Real people.
5-11. Not very good.
Said into real microphones.
You know, the culture is actually damn good.
All righty. We got about a minute left in the show, which is enough time to play this. Steph Curry welcomed Klay Thompson back last night to the Bay, along with about 20,000 people in captain's hats. Very, very cool scene.
It was a memorable night for sure. Like, there's, I know even from July when Klay decided to go to Dallas to, you know, us showing up for training camp and him not being here. It was kind of like a slow build to this night for everybody, because it's such a different look for us, Klay in a new uniform. And granted, we won, so I can say this, but I couldn't imagine it going any other way. Where, you know, he played well, the crowd, you know, got an amazing show, went down to the wire. You can't really draw it up any better, and definitely special, you know, memories to reflect on, you know, 13 years he was here and the four championships and everything that we accomplished, and then trying to turn the page to where we are right now.
What's up with, like, kind of the Halloween-y music in there?
I'm confused, too.
Like, you're the one who put the bite in there.
What was the Warriors like? They did it.
It's almost like a little bit like, I couldn't imagine it going another way. I killed him. Mwah. And boy, did Steph at the end, a Curry flurry. It was like, didn't like being on this end of it. We'll see you back here tomorrow.